Sahagana Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Scha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Dagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Thruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text number 10 is on the board, is that right? Kem Janmabi Tribi. We're reading the nominative case here. This is the words, when they're written in the verse, they're inflected. That is, they're according to the grammatical position in the verse, but when we're reading the word for word, we're reading the nominative case. That is the way it would appear in the dictionary. So instead of tribi, tribir, it's tribi. So when we repeat it, it's better to say tribi. Va, iha, sokra, savitra, yashikai. Karma B, Va, Trai, Proktai, Pumsa, Api, Vibhuda, Ayusha, Kim Janmavis Tribiraveha, Sokra Savitra Yajnikai, Karma Birava Trayi Proktai Pumso Pi Vibhudayusha Kim Janmavis Tribiraveha Sokra Savitra Yajnikai Karma Birava Trayi Proktai Pumso pi vibhudayusha.
Kim Janmavis Tribiraveha Shoka Savitra Janikai Karma Virava Trayi Proktai Pumso Pi Vibhudayusha.
Ladies,
Trim Janmavis Tribiraveha
Sokra Savita Jagnikai Karma Viravatrayi Proktai Pumso Pivi Budayusha Kim Janma Bistriviraveha Sokra Savitra Jagnikai Karavirvatrayi Proktai Pumso Pivi Budayusha Kim, what is the use? Janmabi of births. Three. Va or Iha in this world. Sokra by semen. Savitra by initiation. Yajnikai by becoming a perfect Brahman. Karma bi by activities. Va, what does va mean? What's that? Or, yes. Just seeing who's awake. Trayi in the Vedas. Proktai instructed. Pumsa of a human being. Api even. Vibhuda of the demigods. Ayusha with the duration of life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother. And this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master. And this birth is called Savitra. The third birth called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for obtaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. Please repeat. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother. And this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master. And this birth is called Savitra. The third birth called Yajnika takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for obtaining such births, even if one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. So who can repeat the translation? Or at least the ideas behind it? There are three kinds of births. What are the three kinds of births? What's the first one? And the second birth? What was that? Yeah. It's called, the third birth? And all these things are opportunities, and unless one does what, all these things are useless? serves Lord Vishnu. You may have the opportunity to worship him. Yeah, serve or worship. And what does it mean, mundane or spiritual? How can mundane activities, what does that mean? Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they're useless if they're not meant for satisfying the Lord. So what does mundane mean here? Yeah, some ordinary activity which is not directly, for instance, sadhana, may be sometimes considered mundane. Purport. This is a long purport, so keep in mind, the end of the purport says the same thing all the other purports say. We should become devotees of Krishna. So it's a long purport, but in between, we should understand that everything is aiming simply at that. The word sokra janma means taking birth by seminal discharge. Animals can take their birth in this way too. However, a human being can be reformed from the sokra janma as recommended in the Vedic civilization. Before the birth takes place, or before father and mother unite, there is a ceremony called Garbhadan Samskara, which must be adopted. This Garbhadan Samskara is especially recommended for the higher castes, especially the Brahmana caste. It is said in the Shastras that if the Garbhadan Samskara is not practiced among the higher castes, the entire family becomes Shudra. It is also stated that in this age of Kali, everyone is Shudra due to the absence of Garbhadan Samskara. This is the Vedic system. According to the Pancharatrika system, however, even though one is a Shudra, due to the absence of the Garbhadan Samskara, if a person has but a little tendency to become Krishna conscious, he should be given the chance to elevate himself to the transcendental platform of devotional service. Our Krishna consciousness movement adopts this Pancharatrika vidhi as advised by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who says, Ita kanchanam yadi kangsyam rasa vidanita tata diksha vidanina dvijitam jayate nrinam. As bell metal, when mixed with mercury, is transformed to gold, a person, even though not golden pure, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.12. So here it says initiation process. So we should understand initiation, simply sitting at the fire sacrifice and receiving the beads, is not the entire initiation process. It's part of the process of initiation. But initiation, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, is the transference of transcendental knowledge. That is, if someone has transcendental knowledge and someone wants to receive the transcendental knowledge, there's a process by which the person who wants to give the transcendental knowledge can deliver it to the person who wants to receive it. And part of that process is sitting at a fire sacrifice and receiving a name and beads, etc. But it's not the entire process. If it was so easy, we'd all be in Vaikuntha right now. Of course, we are in Vaikuntha in one sense. But in other sense, our consciousness may not be fully in Vaikuntha as yet. Therefore, there is a process. Sometimes the devotees say that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes all your karma. Has anyone ever heard that before? So does anyone here notice they have a little bit of karma left? Does that mean that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master took all the karma and then gave it back? No, karma is taken by the process of initiation. And when one fully accepts the process, then one fully becomes free from his karma. And as much as we accept the process, then to that extent we become free from karma. And that process of deliverance of transcendental knowledge is the process that frees us from the karma, not the fire sacrifice. Although the fire sacrifice is supposed to develop the mood of receptivity for the transcendental knowledge, in itself is not sufficient
for liberation or even to receive the transcendental knowledge. It's simply part of the process. Sorry to disappoint anyone here. Thus, if one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore offer the student his first initiation and allow him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and following the regular principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a brahmana. Because unless one is a qualified brahmana, he cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. This is called Yajnika Janma. In our Krishna consciousness society, unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting Hare Krishna and second by the Gayatri Mantra, he is not allowed to enter the kitchen or deity room to execute duties. However, when one is elevated to the platform on which he can worship the deity, his previous birth does not matter. Chandalopi dvija shesto Hari Bhakti Parayana Hari Bhakti Vihinascha Dvijopi Swapachadama. Even if one is born in the family of a chandala, if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes the best of brahmanas. But even a brahmana who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of the lowest dog eater. If a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether he is born in a chandala family, he becomes purified, as Sri Prahlad Maharaj says. So we should not disregard certain words here, like if a person is advanced in devotional service, then it does not matter whether one is born in a chandala family. If we're acting like a chandala, although we may have kunti mala and we may have neck beads and we may be chanting and we may be dressed like a Vaishnav, if we're acting like a chandala or chandala, then we're actually a chandala. But if we become advanced in devotional service, even though externally it may appear to some people that because we were born in a chandala family that we're chandalas, but actually we're not chandalas, we're pure devotees of Krishna. Vipra dvij sad guna yatta yutar aravinda. Vipra dvishad guna yuta aravinda nava padaravinda vimukat shwa pacham virishtam. The Bhagavatam 7:9-10. Even if one is a brahmana and is qualified with all the brahminical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is adverse to the worshipping of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if a person is attached to the service of the Lord, he becomes glorified even if he is born in a chandala family. Indeed, such a chandala can deliver not only himself, but all the family predecessors. Without devotional service, even a proud brahmana cannot deliver himself, and what to speak of his family. In many instances in the shastras, it is seen that even a brahmana has become a kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, malecha, or a non-brahmana. And there are many instances of one's being born a kshatriya or a vaishya or even lower, and in the 18th year attaining elevation to the brahminical platform by the process of initiation. Therefore, Narada Muni says, Yasya lakshanam proktam pumso varna bivya yakam jakam yad anyatrapi drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishat. The Bhagavatam 7:11-35. It is not a fact that because one is born in a brahmana family, he is automatically a brahmana. He has a better chance to become a brahmana, but unless he meets all the brahminical qualifications, he cannot be accepted as such. On the other hand, if a brahminical qualifications are found in a person of a shudra, he should immediately be accepted as a brahmana. To substantiate this, there may be many quotations from the Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Bharadvaja Samhita, and the
Pancharatra, as well as many other scriptures. As far as the duration of life of the demigods concerning Lord Brahma, it is said, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahoryad Brahmano Vidu Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Yatra Vido Jana. The duration of one day of Brahma is 1,000 times greater than the four yugas, aggregating 4,320,000 years. Similarly, Brahma's one night, Brahma lives for 100 years of such days and nights. Oh, I see. Similarly, Brahma's one night. Brahma lives for 100 years of such days and nights. The word vibhudayusha indicates that even if one gets a long lifespan, his lifespan is useless if he is not a devotee. A living entity is the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Unless he comes to the platform of devotional service, his lifespan, good birth, glorious activities, and everything else are null and void. So the verse again. Kim janmavis tribiraveha sokra savitra yajnikai karmaviravatri trai proktai pumso pi vibhudayasha. A civilized human being has three kinds of births. The first birth is by a pure father and mother, and this birth is called birth by semen. The next birth takes place when one is initiated by the spiritual master, and this birth is called Savitra. The third birth, called Yajnika, takes place when one is given the opportunity to worship Lord Vishnu. Despite the opportunities for obtaining such births, even when one gets the lifespan of a demigod, if one does not actually engage in the service of the Lord, everything is useless. Similarly, one's activities may be mundane or spiritual, but they are useless if they are not meant for satisfying the Lord. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhute Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvi Shesha Shunivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarane. From this verse, we can see that human form of life, there are many opportunities. But not everyone takes the opportunities. And even if one takes the opportunities, one may not know what the goal of those opportunities are. Just to take birth as a human being is a great opportunity. Whatever one's position as a human being, still there is some possibility of coming in contact with a devotee and taking up devotional service. While in the other species of life, it's prakti, there's no possibility. On the other hand, even if one gets the opportunity to take up the process of devotional service and becomes initiated, still, if there's no opportunity for service, then one does not make any real progress. For instance, Prabhupada, he wrote this literature specifically to give people the opportunity to understand the value of performing devotional activities, of which those devotional activities culminate in the mood of becoming a servant of Krishna, eternal loving servant of Krishna, which is physically manifested as the point of initiation, agreeing that at this particular time, I accept myself as an eternal servant of Krishna, and under the guidance of Krishna's representatives, I make a vow to engage myself in Krishna's service. So even one takes that opportunity of initiation, unless Prabhupada, for instance, had manifested a society where there's opportunities for deity worship, there's opportunities for preaching, there's opportunities for different types of service. Practically all the service fits into either preaching or deity worship, Pancharatrika Vidhi or Bhagavat Marg. So unless one takes up that opportunity, either to serve the deity, either directly or cleaning, or also by performing puja, or by cleaning the temple, or doing other services for the deity, or one takes up the mission of spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement by informing everyone that they're servants of Krishna and that they should engage all their energies in Krishna's service, then one was not really utilizing the valuable opportunity of initiation. And even if one is engaged in devotional service, if there's some ulterior motive other than satisfying Krishna, one may not get the benefit. Especially we can see persons who have taken up with some initial enthusiasm the spreading of Krishna consciousness, but because they were highly motivated for some other than satisfying Krishna, some other reason other than satisfying Krishna, therefore they never really got the ecstasy of they didn't experience the ecstasy of devotional service sufficiently so that they could continue on with the process. Instead, they became deviated by their particular motivations. Prabhupada said there are many neophyte devotees who come to our movement with some hidden motivation, but as soon as that motivation is satisfied, or maybe not satisfied, then their motivations are revealed and therefore they leave. For that reason, it's very valuable to understand the philosophy of devotional service and to understand the path so that one can develop patience. If we think that the process is very cheap, sometimes it's advertised like that, that simply get initiated and all your karma is gone. And the devotees, they take through the process, they get for 6 months or a year, waiting for that opportunity to get initiated, feeling that they're going to leave the fire sacrifice and they'll simply be, you know, in Vaikuntha after the sacrifice. They'll feel completely cleansed. All their sinful activities will be flying out of their heart into the heart of the spiritual master. And then after the initiation ceremony, they say, what happened? It didn't happen. There's something wrong. Maybe it's second initiation. That's when I'll get the experience. In other words, if we don't understand the process, we may have the wrong expectations. Sometimes we have the wrong expectations because we don't understand who we are, we don't understand the process, and we don't even understand what it means to be advanced devotee. One time in Indra Dumaraj, I was talking to him about this subject, and he was saying, yes, he said, I had one disciple, and he came up and gave me a donation, and I didn't know his name. I mean, Indra Dumaraj has thousands of disciples. I mean, you'd have to have a computer to remember all of them. Even having a computer to write them all down would be difficult also. So he said, Guru Maharaj, can I speak to you afterwards? And Indra Dumaraj said, yes. So he said, and he came to the devotee and said, the devotee came to Indra Dumaraj and said, Guru Maharaj, you didn't remember my name. So Indra Dumaraj said, well, I have thousands of disciples. How is it possible to remember everyone's name? He said, I'm not like Prabhupada. And the devotee said, you're not like Prabhupada? He said, well, even Prabhupada didn't remember everyone's name. It's not, you know, Krishna, he remembers everyone's name. That's why Krishna is Krishna. He said, I don't have all mystic powers. He said, you don't have all mystic powers? At least he didn't ask for the donation back. But we may have certain conceptions, and they may be wrong. They may not be reality. But that does not mean, oh, you don't have all mystic powers. You couldn't be a pure devotee. Oh, you can't remember everyone's name. How can you be a pure devotee? One time in 26th Second Avenue, Prabhupada was wearing his glasses when he was reading during the Bhagavatam class or the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And when an outsider came and saw him and exclaimed, this man is wearing glasses. He's not perfect. How can he be a pure devotee? You said he was a pure devotee. He's wearing glasses. And then the man got up and left. What's the use of listening to someone who's wearing glasses?
There's an interesting story about, just as a little diversion, we don't have much time, but one devotee was telling me when I was in Russia, in Samara, the first time I went there, he said that his parents, they came from Lithuania. And Lithuania, Stalin, his men were running out of people to kill. He was trying to kill all the intellectuals. So they're running out of men to kill, and they had a quota. So they're very serious about fulfilling their quota. So they decided that anyone who had glasses must be reading books. So they took note of everyone who had glasses in these countries, and then at night they knock on their door, put them into a train, send the train to Siberia, which was quite a long distance, without food or water, freezing cold, and anyone who survived in Siberia, by the time they reached Siberia, was allowed to get out of the car or crawl out of the car, and that's how Siberia became populated. So it was quite dangerous to wear glasses. In any case, it's not the perfection of life. One's perfection is not diminished by wearing glasses. The perfection is how to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly, how to engage in Krishna service without any deviation or material motivation, simply to satisfy Krishna. And of course, that's what we're trying to practice. And the essence of that is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Therefore, we've taken birth as human beings. We've had the good opportunity to be initiated into a disciplic succession, and we're given opportunity for devotional service. It's up to us to take it up seriously. It's a very simple process to chant Hare Krishna clearly, to actually try to pronounce the names. If we didn't get it right on the first beat, try the second one. All the way up to the 108 and 16 rounds, and if it wasn't the first day or the second, keep on going. But just to chant clearly and then to call out to Krishna. It is not a mechanical process. Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they're persons. We're calling to them. They're the ones who can help us, but we have to know what we want from them. Unfortunately, we have many hidden and obvious motivations. We should say we have certain obvious ones, and we may have many hidden motivations that we're not really aware of. Therefore, we have to try to call out for them for loving service. So that doesn't mean that we ask for loving service and then automatically they reveal it. We actually have to try to engage in it. We have to chant lovingly, feelingly, happily at least. Even if we don't know, what does it mean loving? We don't know. We don't know what feeling is, but at least happily. Calling out to them, Prabhupada said, like a child lovingly calling out to his mother, feeling great separation, knowing that only the mother can actually protect one. Only loving service to Krishna can actually protect us. Otherwise, we may develop so many good talents, so many good qualities, we may develop so many things, but unless we get the ultimate fruit, that is how to chant with attention, how to call out to Krishna and his loving associates, headed by Srimati Radharani, to engage us in their loving service. Unless we become serious about that, and we become serious about that by just trying to do it a little bit better. And then when Krishna sees that we're making an effort, he actually reveals himself. He becomes present along with his associates, and that happiness, the ecstasy we feel, that's what purifies us. That's what takes away our desires. Not only by experiencing the higher tastes of their association of Krishna and his divine associates, so by experiencing their association, that's how we become purified. And by that purification, we obtain the higher tastes, and we can understand what it means to engage in the lower tastes. And therefore, even when the lower taste is presented to us, we won't become distracted to it. Simply, we'll call out more lovingly, or somehow or another, at least we'll call out to Krishna. And if we call out lovingly, then the maya or the illusion will automatically go away. If we don't call out lovingly, we call out of fear, then we'll think that there's something to be afraid of.
But actually, the only thing to be afraid of is that we're not engaged in Krishna's loving service. And even Krishna takes away the cause of our fear, as long as we're not engaged in loving service, we should be afraid. Therefore, Krishna says, surrender and don't be afraid. But Krishna's position is not simply to help us become fearless in the material world, because fearless in the material world without loving service is foolishness. To be in a world where everyone is going through birth, death, old age, and disease, and not to be afraid, not to be in anxiety, is madness. So we should be afraid of not engaging in Krishna's loving service. And if we engage in Krishna's loving service, then we'll understand, then we'll be on a platform where there's no need to be afraid. Otherwise, we should be fearful. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes. No, it doesn't. It mentions three levels of opportunities. Yes, to engage in Krishna's service. Four levels, actually.
Well, I only remember three.
Well, Prabhupada said a civilized human being has three kinds of births.
Births,
right.
And the third kind of birth...
No, not birth, but opportunity.
Opportunity
to actually engage in Krishna's service. First one is taking birth. You have to have that as a human being. Second is being initiated, so that one is understanding that what is the goal. Third is to actually have the opportunity to engage in that goal and the opportunities and the activities that bring one to the goal. And the fourth is to actually engage in those activities and actually come to the goal.
Well, the third mentions the name Vishnu.
Yes, Vishnu.
But nowhere in the sloka itself does it mention Krishna.
Why
is the name Vishnu there and not Krishna?
Because Vishnu is the object of jaga, a sacrifice. In the material world, when we're conditioned souls, we're engaging in sacrifice to Vishnu. And when we become liberated by that sacrifice and engage in loving service, then we come to the platform of worshiping Krishna.
But why is not Krishna's name mentioned in the sloka itself? Where Vishnu
because
is
Vishnu
is.
And Krishna are the same person. Therefore, because Vishnu is appropriate for jaga, spontaneous loving service is appropriate for Krishna. But Vishnu and Krishna are the same. One is receiving jaga, the other one is receiving loving service. Just like the person who's the judge, his has a certain duty. He hears the complaints and awards persons according to their activities. So he's called the judge. But that same person, when he's at home engaging in loving pastimes or activities with his family, he's called John. They're the same person, but it's appropriate to call the judge, Mr. Judge, Your Honor, and it's appropriate to call John, when he's at home.
But that's not mentioned in the sloka itself.
If you read the books, you'll find it.
We just heard the sloka, but it's not there in the sloka.
Yeah, there's a lot of slokas. You got to be patient, read a few more of them. Yes.
My question is, seems like Srila Prabhupada emphasized on the second initiation more important than the first initiation. Seems like it's a higher level to have an opportunity to surf in the altar or cook in the kitchen, and actually the worshipping the deities is not for this age. For this age is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is no other way.
Worshipping the deities.
Why the worshipping of deities is higher level than the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?
No, it never said that. That the worship of the deities, it's the same thing. The Hare Krishna Mantra is the most prominent in this age. Everything, even worshipping the deities, is based upon chanting the holy names. But the holy name, Krishna is the holy name. The deity is the holy name. But the holy name manifests himself as the deity, so we can engage in practical service of the holy name. There's no difference between the deity and the holy name. But in this age, we can worship the deity anywhere by chanting the holy name. Because when we go on the street, we can't bring the deity with us, but we can bring the holy name, who's non-different from the deity. There's no better or worse.
sometimes it says that neophytes, when they restrict themselves to worshiping the deities, they're on a lower platform. But worshiping the deity is not a lower platform. It's only when we restrict ourselves to only worshiping the deity, we don't understand the value of preaching. But one who's engaged sincerely in worshiping the deity for the part of the preaching mission, he's exactly on the same level, he's on the elevated level as the preacher who goes out and distributes books or preaches. He's worshiping Krishna. But when he thinks that the preachers are not important and that the mission is not important, it's my deity worship that's important. That's on a lower that consciousness is on a lower level. But worshiping the deity is not on a lower level. It's when it's restricted, when one's consciousness is restricted. Otherwise, someone like these two brothers in Mayapur who have been worshiping the deity for so many years, to think that they're on a lower level of consciousness, that would be absurd. Or they're doing something inferior by dedicating their lives to Radha Madhava in Mayapur, that they're on a lower level. That would be ridiculous. Yes.
Abba Maharaj, Prabhupada dealt with that question many times. One time he said, if you don't worship the deity, remain impersonal. In other words, we're impersonalists at heart. And if you just walk around with your hand in a bead bag and you never worship the deity, you can remain an impersonalist for quite a long time. But when you dedicate yourself to worshiping the deity, you start to realize Krishna's a person. Prabhupada said on another occasion that the proof that Krishna is God is that he's standing there with Radharani enjoying, and you're running around doing everything, shopping, cooking, cleaning, dressing. He's the center of the attention. So that's the purpose of the deity worship. You can distribute books, you can chant Hare Krishna on beads, but if you don't worship the deity, it takes a long time to realize that Krishna is a person. So that's why the deity worship is very essential in the sage, as well as chanting.
Prabhupada said we have very many bad habits that have to be regulated. The most prominent is that we're impersonalists. So both have to go on. Pancharatrika, Vidhi, and Bhagavat Marga. But unless there's Bhagavat Marga, there won't be anyone here to worship the deity. So therefore we emphasize Bhagavat Marga, the preaching, so that everyone can establish, if they can't come to the temple, they can establish a deity in their home. But the process doesn't end with simply distributing books, for instance. We want people to read the books and follow the books. It's not the end, that now they got the book and our business with them is finished and it doesn't matter what we do, what they do now. For now on, they've been saved. No, it's a whole process. Ultimately, the process ends when they come back to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha and they run up to Krishna and Krishna embraces them. Then the process is over. It's just beginning. Yes.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Can we view difficulties in devotional service, such as maybe like, you know, chanting but not experiencing a higher taste, or engaging in one's service and not getting the desired result, as opportunities being presented by Krishna to enable us to go to a higher level of devotional service? Or should we just think that, oh no, I'm offensive, or I'm receiving some reactions to my sinful activities?
Well, there's one song where the Parama Karuna Paudvijana, that's where the devotee concludes that somehow or another I'm not getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It must be that Yamaraj is chastising me. We can think like that out of humility, out of like that. But actually, we shouldn't get too much absorbed in lamenting. It's useless because we're eternal servants of Krishna. It's natural we should be ecstatic. We should get the higher taste. It's not something that, you know, only a few people who are worthy they get. Everyone's supposed to have the higher taste. The whole spiritual world is like that. Therefore, it says that Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karya Udai. It awakens that Krishna was Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sarukaba Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitti Karya Udai. That it's Krishna Prema is there already. So we just have to chant, as I said, when we're chanting, we have to take the japa very seriously, the kirtan very seriously, and know what we're doing. We're concentrating on chanting very clearly Krishna's name. So it's actually Krishna's name that we're chanting. We're calling out to Krishna, Srimati Radharani, lovingly as we can, as happily as we can. And what will be the result if we do that? then we'll start remembering something that was in the books, some pastime of Krishna, Krishna walking in the Jamuna, or Krishna riding in his chariot with Arjuna. These remembrances will come there, and as remembrances come, then we'll be able to feel actually what's going on in these pastimes. We'll feel it's all ecstatic. The loving feelings that are being exchanged are all the nature of transcendental pleasure and ecstasy. And that's what we'll feel. And that's where all happiness comes from. There's no other, you know, source of becoming happy. That's the happiness. Is engaging in not hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and ultimately becoming absorbed in remembering Krishna and actually feeling, experiencing Krishna and his associates, their loving exchanges. In any case, the hearing should be happily done, the chanting should be happily done, and the remembrances, when they're done with the right attitude, they'll be very happily done. Therefore, we should not only chant Hare Krishna, but the whole process is there. Reading these books, coming to the classes, dealing with the devotees, everything else. And if there's some deficiency, we should search out our deficiency. Why I'm not attentively and feelingly calling out to Krishna with great happiness and love. We should see what our deficiency is and correct it. So we come to that platform. Yes. Is that all right?
Second birth or third?
Well, devotional service begins as soon as we come in contact with a devotee and we somehow or another accept something that the devotee is offering us. A little devotional service, I guess, is a sukriti, unmukha sukriti, and then generally it's after that comes shraddha, a little liking for something, about maybe prasadam, a liking for the holy name, or liking for a devotee. So at that point, a little shraddha, a little liking, a little focusing the mind upon Krishna, a little appreciation, that's where devotional service begins. Initiation by itself is, of course, that's supposed to be the culmination. Initiation is the third step. After a little liking, then we associate with the devotees. And in the association of devotees, we learn about the process about Krishna and the process of sadhana bhakti. And when we take up the process of sadhana bhakti seriously, then initiation helps us come to the platform of anartha nivritti. It's supposed to. And at the platform of anartha nivritti, we come to the platform of becoming steadily engaged in devotional service without deviation. And that's what initiation is supposed to do. Help us come to the platform of second platform, where we are steadily engaged in Krishna's service. Our motivation for worshiping Krishna is not material because we're liberated. And therefore, we love Krishna. We know how to serve the devotees. We know how to help the innocent. And we avoid those who are atheistic, who will affect our consciousness. So we know the science of devotional service. Initiation is supposed to help us. The process of initiation. So the process is not just the fire sacrifice or getting the beads. The whole process gives us transcendental knowledge by which we actually become conscious of Krishna. Shraddha begins as soon as... No. Shraddha, initiation helps develop faith. The process of initiation. It's a process. The process of initiation helps us from bhajana kriya to come at least to the platform of steady service. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, even after that, we don't leave aside our spiritual master or any other devotee. We still remain their servants. I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Granthirai Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol. I'd like to thank Savasru and all the other devotees for their kind association.
Because without that kind of association, I wouldn't be able to engage in any service to anyone, but to speak of Krishna.